This is a download from the BBC. For more information and our terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/radio3.
The title is a two-word surrealist poem on its own. It speaks of something transgressive and perverse. It could mean the Greek mythical character, Narcissus, gazing adoringly at his own image, but that he has somehow turned black, racially or in some other way. Or perhaps it means his reflection in the dark pool. Or perhaps it is the flower itself, the narcissus, whose petals have turned black through some secret horticulture. Of course, it actually turns out to be the name of a gentleman's cologne, a perfume worn by an exquisite young Indian nobleman, which he has bought from the Army and Navy stores, of all places. Surrounded by the dense flora and sensual tastes and smells of India, this man exults in an absurdly named scent imported from a London department store. In taking this ephemeral and inauthentic detail and enigmatically giving it star billing status in the title, the movie, like the original novel, crucially gives us India through the lens of England before anything has happened at all. In many ways, the 1947 film Black Narcissus, the story of a pre-war nunnery in India, is Powell and Pressburger's most conventional movie, with a big Hollywood studio star and a Hitchcockian finale full of vertigo and high anxiety. Emmerich Pressburger's script sticks reasonably closely to the 1939 novel by the Anglo-Indian author Rumour Godden, and I've heard it said that to love Black Narcissus more than their other films means that you're not a true believer in the Powell-Pressburger canon. Maybe. But it is operatic and magnificent and mad, a fascinating parable of the colonial experience in India, which has to be read in the context of England's imperial adventure in South Asia and Rumour Godden's own troubled life. And it showcases a lethally scary performance from one of the most beautiful women in the history of cinema, Kathleen Byron, playing Sister Ruth, whose final vengeful appearance never fails to frighten the hell out of me in her sexy dress and scarlet lipstick. Black Narcissus is the story of an order of Anglo-Catholic sisters in Darjeeling who are made an offer they can't refuse by a local potentate. He will offer them a palace high up in the Himalayas as the site for a new nunnery. There they will be an expeditionary force for Christ. The strange, ornate building formerly housed his harem, but it is haunted by more than just sex. The Sisters of St. Faith themselves are not demure, shrinking violets. On the contrary, they pride themselves on their open, practical engagement with the world outside the church. Deborah Carr plays the Sister Superior, Clodagh, cool, self-assured, but with a supercilious manner and what the kindly, shrewd Mother Superior fears is a kind of spiritual arrogance and immaturity. Sister Philippa, industrious and doughty, is played by Flora Robson. Sensible Sister Bryony is played by Judith Furse, and sweet, childlike Sister Honey by Jenny Laird. But the fifth nun is the explosive element in this group dysfunctional mix. Kathleen Byron's Sister Ruth is shrill, spiteful, highly strung, with an unformed, self-destructive sexiness. From the very first, she is competitive and envious with Sister Clodagh. Any time Kathleen Byron is on the screen, her pale, gaunt face attracts the eye like a magnesium flare. As the film proceeds, she is to be neurotic, then psychotic, and then demonic. When the Mother Superior is giving Clodagh an initial rundown of who to pick for her team of nuns for this dangerous mission, Ruth is the candidate she pauses over. "She's a problem," concedes the Mother Superior. "And how do you solve a problem like Ruth? Not by putting her under sexual stress in the remote Himalayan mountains, that's for sure." Because the presence of two men is to unsettle all the women. The youthful nephew of the local chief, known as the Young General and played by the Indian former child actor Sabu, has insisted on being taught in the nun's school, and he is developing a tendresse for the winsome young pupil there, Kanshi, played by Jean Simmons, a discarded concubine of the local British land agent, a boorish, hard-drinking sensualist called Mr. Dean, on whom the sisters have to rely for handyman skills and local knowledge. This handsome fellow, played by David Farrar, becomes friendly in spite of himself with Sister Clodagh, and Sister Ruth, in her madness and fanaticism, conceives an obsession for this man and his possible relationship with Clodagh. Her crazy jealousy boils over when Clodagh calls Ruth into her office for a gentle talk.
I think you have let yourself fall into thinking too much of Mr. Dean. Sister, don't you realize what you're doing? What you're running the risk of losing in yourself? Sister, you must, I must make you see before it is too late.
All the same, I've noticed you're very pleased to see him yourself.
If that was in your mind, it's better said. I think you're out of your senses. Listen to me. I don't know. I can't decide now what to make of you. As for Mr. Dean, in spite of his charm and kindliness, he is not a good man. You must take him for what he is and not try to glorify him into something he is not. When he came to chapel on Christmas night, he was drunk.
Can I go?
I want you to write to Reverend Mother. I shan't look at the letter, and her reply will be your own business.
Am I to write 2 or 3 pages? Would you rather I did it now, or shall I finish my classwork first?
You may go.
Part of what's gripping in all this, quite aside from the superb performances of Carr and Byron, is the remarkable similarity of this anti-love triangle to a similar fraught emotional dynamic in the film Powell and Pressburger made 3 years before, I Know Where I'm Going, set on the Scottish island of Mull. Wendy Hiller's young heroine, headstrong and a little self-important like Clodagh, is emotionally attracted to Torquil MacNeill, the Laird of Killoran, played by Roger Livesey. Cut from finer cloth than Mr. Dean, to be sure, but like him, a man embedded in the landscape and customs. Then there is the sharp-witted, sharp-faced Catriona, played by Pamela Brown, shrewd and watchful and not entirely pleased by their burgeoning love affair. She is eerily like Sister Ruth in many ways. It is no surprise to learn that Michael Powell had had affairs with both Deborah Carr and Kathleen Byron, and indeed Pamela Brown, and was in all probability in love with both women while he was making this film. Perhaps especially Kathleen Byron, who shared some of Sister Ruth's mercurial personality. In his autobiography, Powell writes, I have always had a special respect for Kathleen ever since she pulled a gun on me. It was a revolver, a big one, US Army issue, and it was loaded. A naked woman and a loaded gun are persuasive objects. Powell never explains further, but I've never read that passage without imagining Byron not naked, but in her nun's habit. It isn't just sex. It's something in the earth and in the air and in the giant, implacable mountain that they must look at each day. And, like the Overlook Hotel in The Shining, the palace building itself. One of the intriguing things about the film is that we know that an order of religious brothers had also been offered this same palace building the previous year and had retreated for unexplained reasons. I like to imagine a secret Powell Pressburger prequel to Black Narcissus called something like The Brothers' Trial, perhaps in black and white, with Anthony Quail and Dirk Bogard facing off like Carr and Byron. Many narratives about the colonial experience in India emphasise the stifling heat, but that is not the case here. The nuns feel an intense cold, a lucid, clarifying cold which heightens the senses. As Sister Clodagh says, you can see too far. It is almost as if the sisters had ingested some narcotic stimulant, or something like the red pill in The Matrix, which had shown them the true nature of things. And what is so important in Black Narcissus is the recurrent theme of being drugged or poisoned. In this film, both the nuns and the locals fear it. When Sister Clodagh sends Sister Ruth a glass of milk, Ruth instantly suspects some kind of foul play and secretly pours the drink away. When a local sick baby dies, unfortunately, just after being given some futile medicine at the nuns' clinic, the villagers suspect the white ladies have poisoned the child. The strange resonance of these events can't be understood without knowing about Rumour Godden's own life. 5 years after she wrote her novel, and 3 years before the movie came out, Rumour Godden herself had to leave her beloved India because a servant had tried to poison her with powdered glass. The trauma expelled her. Black Narcissus taps into this personal nightmare felt by both sides in their enforced intimacy with its potential for fear and resentment. Black Narcissus, released a few months after independence, is partly a political metaphor for the British retreat, but its power resides specifically in finding this insidious poisoning trope, a hot-button issue since the days of the Indian Mutiny, when Hindu and Muslim soldiers feared that the paper cartridges they had to bite were contaminated with smears of beef and pork. The look of Black Narcissus is thrilling. Long before the days of digital effects, Powell had found a way to suggest South Asia in Pinewood Studios. Now, to our modern eyes, it might not look real, but that's not the point. It is unreal or hyper-real. Reality here is like a painting by Caspar David Friedrich. The brilliant and exquisitely dreamlike world of the film, its deep focus artificiality, is part of the Powell-Pressburger repudiation of standard Brit realism. The Himalayan landscapes and locations are created with passionate care by Technicolor cinematographer Jack Cardiff and designer Alfred Junger in the studio and in a tropical garden in West Sussex. This is Leonard's Lee Gardens, once open to the public, but closed since 2010. Recently, in response to a begging letter from me, the new owners allowed me in, wandering all alone in this gigantic, quasi-tropical landscape with its Himalayan plants and seven lakes, creating the impression of a huge, humid, Anglo-Saxon Asia in the middle of England. To walk through this garden, to imagine Powell himself sizing up the location, was for me almost like a séance. Black Narcissus is satirically, subversively about the exotic, with all the condescension and incomprehension that the word implies. India and the Indians look exotic to the well-meaning Westerners, until they realise, to their mounting anxiety, that the strange majesty of all that they see cannot be contained within this term. Actually, in this movie, the landscapes of Ireland, where Sister Clodagh spent her romantic young womanhood, look as daunting and wild in their own way. The Himalayas are forbidding and exciting and menacing and unexplainable. But they are not the terrain that is ultimately important. The real territory is the woman's body and womanhood itself. Michael Powell called Black Narcissus the most erotic film I have ever made. I can only add that it is the most erotic film I have ever seen.